For those of you that may be listening or watching for the first time, or maybe this is the first CD of a sermon you've ever heard from me, I want to give just a little bit of an introduction to what I'm going to share this morning. For several weeks now, I have been, in most of the sermons, most of the services for several weeks now, I've been sharing what I refer to as lessons from the upper room. And these are things that the Lord has said to me during times of prayer. Some people would refer to these correctly as prophecies for the church, and that's exactly what they are. They're not meant to become scripture, it's just a prophetic word that the Lord is giving. That's what I'm going to do today, is share one with you that, for me, I think it's one of the more powerful ones that the Lord has given. You know, you may think differently, and that's okay, because these words touch people's lives differently. But this one meant a lot to me, and it reinforced a lot of things that He has done here in the past and other prophecies that have come forth over the years. I'd like you to first open in Psalm 22. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture for a foundation of what He gave me. In other words, He gave these passages of Scripture as a foundation before He began. Well, what's the right way to say this? In the giving of this word, this lesson from the upper room, He also included passages of Scripture, some of which He instructed to be used as foundation before starting to read the actual lesson itself, the actual word He gave. So in Psalm chapter 22, take a look here in verse 22. I will declare Thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise Thee. Now I'll just give you a heads up that this word has to do with praise and worship, this entire lesson. And some of the things in it will probably strike home for a lot of people. Some of the things will be possibly encouraging for some. Maybe, let's just say, challenging for others. But, this whole thing deals with praise and worship. And there's some things that He shared that just were absolutely, to me, very exciting. But you'll notice here in verse 22, I will declare Thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise Thee. So what we're seeing here in verse 22 is a person in a congregational setting who is opening their mouth and they are declaring the praises of God verbally. And it's important to get a hold of this because, and I'm not going to go too far off in another direction, but a lot of people believe that, well, just as long as you're present in a worship service, doesn't matter if you open your mouth and let anything out or not. Well, we see differently here. And before I go any further, I do want to remind you that I do have two teaching series on worship, praise and worship. One is Breaking Through with Worship, and the other is entitled Unleashing the Power of Worship. Now, I'm not going to be going back and reviewing really anything from those teaching series, although elements of this word may touch on parts of what was taught in those series, but I would encourage you to get those if you haven't heard them. So He says here in verse 22, I will declare Thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise Thee. Now look in Psalm 35. Psalm 35, verse 18. I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise Thee among much people. So once again, what we're seeing here, and there are other passages that go along with this, but these were the two that He kind of started with, and there's some others we'll see here right after this one. Again, what we're seeing is a person in a congregational setting, let's just call it a church service, who is opening their mouth and they're releasing praise and worship. Now look in Psalm chapter 63. Psalm 63, in verse 1. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. So what we're seeing here is another example of a person in a congregational setting, in a church service again, if you will, and they're making this decision, I will bless you. I will open my mouth. My lips will declare this. And not only that, but he says, you know, my hands are going to be lifted up to you in the midst of the congregation. So in other words, he's saying, well, let me kind of rephrase it. He's not saying, I will lift up my hands with the people. He's saying, I will lift up my hands among the people. In other words, what he's saying is, look, I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to praise. And my lips are going to sing praise unto you as I'm in the midst of the people. Now, what they do is up to them. I'm speaking for myself, God. This is what I am going to do. I choose to do this. I choose to lift my hands. I choose to praise you. I choose to let this worship come forth across my lips. Now look in Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Come before His presence with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Does that mean if you're not glad, you're not supposed to come before Him with singing? No. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise, and be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Now, here we see somebody who's praising again. Once more, we see the imagery here of being among people. But you'll notice it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. One of the things the Lord impressed upon me with that verse is you need to look beyond walking into a brick and mortar building and saying that you have come through my gates and entered my courts. He says, you need to understand that is speaking of a spiritual encounter with me. So what happens is, you know, really, we've been trained to think, well, you know, you come through the doors of the sanctuary and I will enter His gates with thanksgiving, I'll enter His courts with praise. And it's all about being in a room with other people. Well, yes, there's an element of truth to that and we know it. But what he's trying to do is get across to us, it's not simply about walking into a room. It's about walking into my presence. Because see, you can come into a church service, you can come into a building, and you can sing songs, but never go through His gates and enter into His courts. You've just sung a bunch of songs. Look in Psalm 149. Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. I mean, that's just a statement. Praise ye the Lord. Do it. It's like no ifs, ands, or buts. Just, you know, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Now this phrase, new song, it literally means something fresh, something new, and it also means something that has never before been sung. But well, we're going to see something about this here in just a moment over in the New Testament. But this is, even though the whole concept of singing in tongues is not here, the imagery is because it's saying, release unto Him a song that has never before been sung. So it's talking about you sing unto Him not just what you know, but sing unto Him something new that's being birthed out of your spirit. And literally that can be with tongues or with the understanding. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of the saints. And once again, you know, we're together. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Then He begins to tell us in verse 7 what all of this praise and worship is going to do for us. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all His saints, so praise ye the Lord. This is describing spiritual warfare through praise and worship. And He's saying, listen, are you having some problems with demonic attack, whatever that is, whatever that means? Praise the Lord. Praise Him with the instruments. Praise Him with the dance. Open your mouth and praise Him. And in the process of doing that, you are going to be binding powers, principalities, rulers of the darkness, etc. and so forth. You're going to be doing spiritual warfare to bind their kings with chains. So therefore, He says, look, praise the Lord. Do this. And then in 150, He says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Well, I have breath. Therefore, this instruction is for me. Now, if you're here today and you have breath, this instruction is for you. What's it say? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Right? Now, if you don't do this, do you understand that this is a type of disobedience to God? You say, well, no, Brother Martin, you don't have to if you don't want to. Now, wait a minute. What's it say? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. God's up in heaven saying, you want some help in how to get through life? Well, let me tell you. Here's one way. Praise ye the Lord. Praise Him in the dance with all the instruments. Open your mouth and let it rip. Praise ye the Lord. Praise Me. Let everything that hath breath praise Me. And God's saying, okay, now you have the instruction. What are you going to do? Well, look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 15. Well, beginning in verse 15. Paul says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. Well, that's enough of a challenge for a lot of people. I mean, even for some folks filled with the Holy Ghost who could pray in tongues, you know, they just stub up and won't do it. But then Paul, I mean, he couldn't leave well enough alone. He had to complicate it tremendously by saying, and I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. He's talking about singing in tongues. Well, if you can't get people to pray in tongues, you sure aren't going to get them to sing in tongues. And here's the thing that's so, I don't know, just amazing to me, and that is, how many Christians actually take a stand against this? Well, you can't sing in tongues, blah, blah. I had a guy one time, the leader of a you know, he wasn't the head of a denomination, but he was in a place of high leadership in a Pentecostal denomination. He looked me right in the eye and said, there's nothing in Scripture to support a congregation praying in tongues or singing in tongues. You talk about being blown away. You never been in this situation, somebody says something and you have no, I mean, you were just so caught off guard, you just have no response whatsoever. Well, that was one of those moments. And in verse 16, he says, else when thou bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. So he's saying, look, when you're singing in tongues, he says, when you're singing in tongues, he says, you're doing a good thing. You're giving thanks well. But you also need to incorporate singing with the understanding, So somebody who happens to come in who has absolutely no clue what is going on in the service, they're going to figure out, oh, okay, you're worshiping God. You're worshiping the Lord. Now, don't forget that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God Himself is the one who is giving this instruction to the church. Somebody says, well, I really don't need all that. I beg to differ with you. If the Apostle Paul gained spiritually by praying in tongues and with the understanding and singing in tongues and with the understanding, how in the world can we look at ourselves and say, I don't need what was beneficial for the Apostle Paul who wrote so much of the New Testament? How can I say I don't need it if this guy himself says, hey, I will do this? Listen, you need to understand, Paul would never have done anything that wasn't of benefit to him spiritually. So he has figured out. I mean, remember, he said he was caught up to the third heaven. And he's receiving instructions from Jesus. And I don't know exactly what that conversation entailed, but I know a lot of it entailed what he has recorded here in Scripture as far as doctrine for the church. And so I can just see, you know, Paul sitting there with Jesus. And Jesus telling him things. And I can just see Jesus saying, now Paul, remember when you were filled with the Holy Spirit there, when Ananias came, laid hands on you, and you received your sight, the scales fell off, and you were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues? He says, look, I want you to understand. The more you pray in tongues is the more the Holy Spirit's going to be able to minister to you and help you understand the mysteries of God. But not only that, Paul, if you will sing in tongues as well, along with the understanding, there is an anointing that's going to come into your life. Now, I don't know exactly how the conversation transpired, but one thing I can tell you is this. When Paul received those instructions from the Lord and he came, you know, back to earth, so to speak, he did it. And the proof of it is right here, because in verse 18, he said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. He said, I thank God I pray in tongues more than the whole bunch of you combined. But he said, I'll sing with the Spirit and I'll sing with the understanding. And anyone who would take issue, you know, with me over this, you need to take a look at what the Word of God has to say. I wouldn't know about praying in tongues if I hadn't read about it here in Scripture. I wouldn't have understood it. And I also wouldn't have understood about singing in tongues if I hadn't seen it right here. So remember, Paul made the statement in another place. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, apparently, singing in the Spirit, or worshiping in tongues, if you will, is one of the things involved with following Christ. Therefore, because it is in Scripture and God's the one that gave it, there is benefit to doing this, not just when you're alone, but also when you're in the midst of a congregational worship service, because Paul says, understanding and the Spirit, so somebody next to you who doesn't really know what's going on, they'll figure it out, because you're doing it with the Spirit and with the understanding. So we've looked at Psalm 22:22, Psalm 35:18, Psalm 63, verses 1 through 5, Psalm 100, Psalm 149, Psalm 150, and 1 Corinthians 14:15 through 17. Those were all the foundation passages that the Lord wanted me to read first before reading to you what He spoke to me. He said, worship will bring you into my presence. Private or corporate worship, either one will do this. I do not prefer one over the other. You can sing in tongues as well, but you have to be the one who releases the worship, either with the understanding or in tongues. I will not force it out of you. But know this, if you do not worship, you will not experience the level of my presence that worship produces. Now, one of the things that's happened before I continue reading in this, you know, God has really ministered, out of all the prophecies, I'll say it this way, out of all the prophecies that have come forth here in this ministry over the years, the one subject that has probably received the most attention as far as prophetic words has to do with praise and worship. And there's a reason for that. How many of you remember, like, when you were a kid, your parents said, eat your vegetables. You know, they're good for you.
you didn't want to eat peas. You didn't, you know, just, I want, you know, hamburger. I want potato chips. I want candy. I want brownies. Hallelujah. I want something that has meaning. Well, mom and dad said, eat your vegetables or you can't leave the table. Why? It's good for you. Well, you didn't understand that. Do you understand it now? Yes, you do. All right. Worship happens to be your spiritual vegetables. It is good for your spirit. It makes you grow big and strong. Hallelujah. If you don't do it, what it will do for you will not happen. This does not mean that God will love you more if you worship Him. What it means is you simply will not experience His love in the way that worship can produce. And I know that, man, people, they want to fuss about this, and I don't care whether they're born, whether they're born again in spirit filled or born again and not spirit filled. People still want to fuss about this. I don't want to go off on a tangent, so at least not right yet. So let's look at this. He said, if you do not worship, you will not experience the level of my presence that worship produces. Many of you were raised not to believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. But you came to the place of understanding through teaching and what you read in my word that you needed the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Then there are many of you who were filled with the Holy Spirit but didn't know to pray in tongues on a regular basis just because you want to. But because of teaching and what you saw in my word, you came to understand why you need to pray in tongues and the benefits of that kind of prayer. So, you began entering into praying in that manner. As your God and your Father, my question to you is, after all of the teaching, exhortation, prophetic words, and revelation you've seen in my word, why do you still refuse to truly enter into worship? Do you have any idea how much you are stunting your spiritual growth by not doing what I have shown you to do when it comes to worship? Do you not understand that refusing to worship when you know to worship is exalting yourself above me? Now, some people at this point have already begun raising up the wall of resistance. I feel it. You know, I'm just going to continue to give you this word. You do with it what you want. But here's the thing, guys. Once this is over, you're accountable. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to be judged by God with what you do with this. These are not my words. These are His. He's trying to help us. Just like your parents said, eat your vegetables because they were trying to help you. Just like you tell your kids, eat the vegetables. You're trying to help them. God's trying to help us in this. So, you know, you do with it what you want. God's still going to love you. He's going to love you just as much if you worship and if you don't worship. His love's not going to change. It's for our benefit, though. He's trying to help us here. Well, he says, he continued and said, when you know to worship, why do you think you can have everything I've promised when you do not worship? Well, think about it, you know, when you were a kid growing up. And your parents were telling you to do things, and you didn't do it, but you still thought you got the treat or the allowance or the, you know, the whatever. You know what I'm saying? And your parents said, well, I told you to clean your room. Oh, I know, but I still want to go to the movies. Well, you can't go to the movies. Well, I still want the dessert. Well, you can't have the dessert. Well, I still want... Well, I told you to clean your room. You didn't do it. And then, you know, as kids, we'd fuss and cry because we can't get what we want. Yeah. And your parents say, well, you can just fuss and cry all you want, but I told you what to do and you didn't do it, so you don't get this over here. And then if you keep fussing and crying long enough, they'll look at you and say, all right, you keep that crying up and I'll give you something to cry about. How many remember that one? I'm already crying. I don't need anything else to cry about. So he said, when you know to worship, why do you think you can have everything I've promised when you do not worship? And do not try to justify yourself by thinking, but I am worshiping, I'm just doing it my way, because I am the one who created worship and gave it to you. Therefore, true worship only takes place when it is done the way I have outlined in my word. So you can play those,
well, you know, we're all different and I've got a quiet personality, so I just stand here and worship God in the way I worship God. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Yeah, right. You can convince other people, but you know what? And used to, you would have convinced me with that, but after what God's shown me over the years, I ain't buying it, and you ain't fooling me. And if you want me to be honest, you're a, well, I won't try and spell it, I'll just say it, hypocrite. Because you say you're worshiping God, and when you know how to worship Him, and you don't, you're a hypocrite.
I don't appreciate what you're saying.
Are you worshiping? If you're a worshiper, you have no problem with what you're hearing. It's not bothering you. This whole thing about where God said, because I'm the one that created worship and gave it to you, one of the things that He showed me a while back, and it's not in this prophecy, and I may teach on it later on, He showed me how He is the one who created music and worship. He created it. And the reason He could create it was because it was in Him to begin with. So therefore, He was able to show the angels all about worship. Because the Bible reveals to us angels worshiping. And He was also able to instruct Lucifer on how to worship and how to praise. The Bible talks about all these different instruments, as far as Lucifer before he became Satan. And a lot of people have taught that Lucifer had all these instruments built into, you know, his body. Like that old song, you know, I came from Alabama with a banjo on my knee. Well, Lucifer wasn't walking around with a banjo on his knee, you know, and cymbals, you know, between his legs, you know, and a harmonica up here. Well, man, that's just weird, man. That's just really weird. What that passage is actually talking about is that, well, to be brief, God showed Lucifer, remember He called him the anointed cherub that covereth. God released from Himself to Lucifer the ability to utilize instruments, whatever instruments are there in heaven, to utilize instruments for praise and worship. And the singing, as far as praise and worship is concerned. People have commonly referred to Lucifer as being the worship leader of heaven. Therefore, and this, I really want you to try and get a hold of it. Because God instructed Lucifer on how to play the instruments, to use them in praise and worship. What that means is, when instruments are used in praise and worship, there is something holy that takes place. If the instruments did not play a role in any way, shape, or form, we would not have the revelation in Scripture of God Himself passing this on to Lucifer. So God in Himself created how instruments and singing can be used for praise and worship. He first gave it to the angels, including Lucifer. Then, after man was created, He passed it on to man. I mean, how do you think we came up with the idea to worship God? It came from Him. He imparted that to man. And it is literally a part of our existence, our very being, whether you're lost or born again. He imparted this to man. The proof of that is, you can take a baby that can barely walk, and you start playing music, and have you ever seen the babies? They'll grab a hold of the end of a table or a couch, and they'll pull themselves up, and they'll start doing this to the beat of the music. And a big old smile will come across their face. Brother Martin, stop that. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to train them along with that. When you do that with these babies, they suddenly become totally oblivious to everything and everyone else around them. They don't care who's watching them. They will just, start doing that. And they'll start giggling. And they'll start clapping. There are videos on YouTube where people have started playing music, and the babies will literally start dancing to the music. I saw one where they were playing some kind of rock and roll song, but this baby got up and started dancing to the music in a way that I didn't think was possible for a baby to dance. I mean, I just didn't think a little 2 or 3 year old could do this. And then when they would stop the music, and the baby would stop and do nothing, they turn the music back up, and the baby would just start doing its thing. It's in us. It's in us. As we get older, we are taught to suppress it when it comes to praise and worship. We are taught, well, that's out there, but that, the house of God, reverence, holy, and all this other. God's the one who created it. He created it for a reason. There is a purpose for praise and worship. There is a spiritual thing that takes place in praise and worship, because God is the one that created it and then passed it on to us. Therefore, if you don't use a can opener, you don't get the can open. Now, you can use the old hand crank can opener, or you can use some kind of a high-tech, super-powered, atomic can opener that zoom, and the can's open. You can do it a lot of different ways. But if you don't use a can opener, the can doesn't get open. Likewise, if you don't praise and worship, everything that God has anointed praise and worship to do for us will never happen. It's not going to happen. Now, you can say what you want. You can try and refute it. If you're going to refute it, at least give me scripture where God says, I changeth my mind. I mean, just something in here to help me understand how He's gone a different direction. But it's not there. Well, He says, again, when you know to worship, why do you think you can have everything I've promised when you do not worship? And do not try to justify yourself by thinking, but I am worshiping, I'm just doing it my way, because I am the one who created worship and gave it to you. Therefore, true worship only takes place when it is done the way I have outlined in my word. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have instruments every time you worship. The key is worshiping. Now look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. One of the things that the Lord has shown me, in fact, He had to deal with me about this years ago, was like He said here in the previous paragraph, do you not understand that refusing to worship me when you know to worship is exalting yourself above me? He had to deal with me about that years ago because I was exalting myself above Him. I was more concerned about, how I felt in front of other people when I would be worshiping. I was more concerned about what I thought other people would see in me. I was more concerned about what other people would think about me if I did this. So what I did, I exalted me above God and just didn't worship. Well, pride goeth before what? So, if you are allowing your pride to lift you up above the Lord so that I just don't do those things. That's just not me. Now, it is you, remember? You were born with this in you. It's a part of your existence. It's a part of, I'll call it human nature. Lost or born again, it's a part of human nature. So it's there. It's just being suppressed. Well, see, if you take that, which is, it's in you, it's a part of who you are, it's a part of your nature, and you add to it the life of God as a result of being born again, now what you have is the very thing God put in humans coupled with His life. So what do you think is going to happen if you utilize those two and let her rip? Begin to worship Him. Begin to praise Him. Man, some people, I had to get by this. I had to do this, man. I mean, I would just stand and do nothing. Or I'd, you know, sing the songs, but, you know, with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise. Yeah, all right. I lifted my hands up. The weird thing was, everybody else was. You know, I'm surrounded. Looks like I'm in a forest. All these trees. And I'm the one that's standing there not doing this. I was the weirdo. Not them. But Satan had me so blinded. And that's the thing, guys. Satan will keep you blinded to this whole thing of praise and worship. God has given me a revelation about, you know, Satan and all of this here. In just a few minutes, I'll read it to you. But in Ephesians chapter 5. Oh, and by the way, I know full well that by the time this is over, some folks are still not going to do it. They're still not going to. They're not. It's not because they don't love God. It's, well, they love God, but it only goes so far. Anyway, Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here I see that I minister to myself, and this is the passage here where the Lord took me next. I minister to myself through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord. In other words, it's coming out of my spirit. This helps me to understand what the will of God is. This helps me to redeem my time. This helps me to avoid being a fool. This helps me to walk circumspectly. I mean, on and on, everything that He has written in here. So, in a way, what He's doing, He's saying, I'm giving you in this little passage right here a revelation of what praise and worship will help you do, if you do it. Well, with those verses in mind, he said, so many of you, man, boy, get up, just listen to this. So many of you who lived in the world and the sin it offers know full well the power of music. The beat of music can and will intoxicate the senses. Satan knows this. And it is why he uses music as such a powerful instrument to feed his lies into people. And you know, as the Lord was saying this to me, I began to wonder, did he use the power of music to help deceive one third of those angels? Did he figure out what it does in the realm of the Spirit? And then begin to use it. He twisted and perverted it and used it to his advantage. See, I don't know for sure because I don't yet know that I have Scripture to prove that. But it makes me wonder. And so he said, the beat of music can and will intoxicate the senses. Satan knows this, and it is why he uses music as such a powerful instrument to feed his lies into people. Why do you think it is that so many pagan cultures have used music to numb their senses and distort their reasoning before rushing into intense battle? Have you ever seen those film clips of it happening? You know, the drum beat is just a certain thing, and they do the chanting, singing kind of a thing, and they will do that just ad infinitum, for sometimes for days before charging into battle against, you know, another tribe or something. Why is that? You know, you see this and you hear about it and it's like, well, that just sounds weird, man. Those people are just plain old weird. Well, we may think it's weird, but what's happened is Satan has figured out a way to get these people so intoxicated with his perversion of music that God has given that they lose all sense of reason. I've actually, back in my, you know, drinking, drugging, bar running days, I've actually seen guys who really weren't drunk get into fights when certain music was playing. I mean, start punching each other out. Weird. Crazy weird. But it was because you stop the music and they'll stop. When you stop the music, people leave the dance floor. Because there's something going on. Well, he said, Why do you think it is that so many pagan cultures have used music to numb their senses and distort their reasoning before rushing into intense battle? Why do you think couples like to play romantic music during times of closeness? Come on now. You ever heard of people saying we need to set the mood with the music? I mean, for anything. Research has proven that certain types of music stimulate people to spend more money in stores. Certain types of music stimulate people to eat faster in restaurants so they get out and the next bunch can come in and leave their tip. These are things that are proven. Well, where did this come from? It's because God has created music to have an impact on our lives, and Satan figured it out, and now he's got people that he can inspire to use it to his advantage. Worship. Well, let me read. Why do you think couples like to play romantic music during their times of closeness? Worship will intoxicate your senses with my glory and my presence. It will give you clear vision of the victory I have given you over all adversity. So if the music is going to, quote Satan's music, is going to cause his thing to more readily take place, God's turning right around and he's saying, hey, listen, music will intoxicate your senses, but if you take the music, you incorporate it with the worship, then what's going to happen is your senses become intoxicated with my glory and my presence so that you begin to see what I am seeing from my throne. You begin to see yourself as more than a conqueror. You begin to see yourself as walking in victory over the enemy. You begin to see what I see about you. So therefore, if you feel like, well, I just don't know what to do. I just can't figure life out. One of the best things you can do is start worshiping. He said, music is so powerful, it can penetrate the soul and open doors to your life. This is why remember, and I don't have this written down, he just brought it to my memory. Remember when David played music and the tormenting spirit would leave Saul? And Saul specifically had David to come and just play. Just play. And so David was playing out of his heart of love for the Lord. And the tormenting spirit would leave Saul. Why is that? It's because when you open your worship, your praise, either with or without the instruments, if you open it up to God, God will be there. He said he inhabits the praises. God will be there. And when he shows up, it's hard for devils to hang around. Well, he said, music is so powerful it can penetrate the soul and open doors to your life. This is why a particular song can suddenly open up memories of your past with vivid clarity. When you think of a song, you never think of just the words. You always associate the music with the words. Satan uses this to his advantage. Why not use it to yours? Worship will prepare your heart to receive the engrafted word. Without a heart that is ready, the word will be heard, but not as easily received. This is one of the reasons why you want to have praise and worship before your service. Well, it doesn't have to be fast, medium, slow. It doesn't have to be all fast. It doesn't have to be all slow. It doesn't have to be all medium. It doesn't have to be anywhere in between. You just do it. Sometimes it's conducive for it to be faster. Sometimes it's conducive for it to be slow. But what happens is it begins to plow up the soil of our heart so that when truth goes forth, it is sown into our hearts to produce a crop of God's will. This is why the praise and the worship is so powerful, and this re-emphasizes to me how important the pre-service worship is, because it helps to prepare the hearts of those who participate to receive what it is that God wants to do. You know, when you talk about spiritual warfare, remember in the Old Testament, Jehoshaphat sent, the praisers first. Praise the Lord, His mercy endures forever, and so forth. And the battle was won. I mean, these kind of things should clue us into what's happening here. They were praising and worshiping God, and confusion invaded the camp of the enemy. And by the time that the children of Israel showed up, the enemy was all dead. And they just went in and they took all the riches. They just took everything. It was theirs. And they didn't have to fight for it. Well, this should tell us something. So he says, without a heart that is ready, the word will be heard, but not as easily received. Now look over in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and look what Jesus said. In verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Being born again does not automatically qualify you that you are doing this every time you open your mouth and begin to sing to the Lord. Being born again means you have the potential to do this. Now He took me to these two verses, and then He said, you cannot worship Me, according to John 4, 23 through 24, if you participate in a worship service based on what you feel. When you allow your feelings and emotions to dominate My life in your spirit, you will have made a decision to hinder and stop the flow of My glory. Why would you choose to be controlled by anger, discouragement, depression, or any other emotion of the flesh instead of choosing to enter into divine, holy, spiritual communion with Me? And listen, how many times have we been there? We come to church. You know, it's just one of those days. You're just not in the mood. You just don't feel like it. And you wish they would hurry up and get done. And so you endure. You put up with it. I don't like that song. I'm tired of that song. Don't they know any new songs? Stinking song. And you stand there with your attitude. And there, listen, there are times when I'm standing up here and I can feel that radiating forward to me. I feel it. It was there this morning. There were those of you... There are those of you who are here this morning. You came in with an attitude. I know you don't want to hear this. I know you're starting to feel a little, get him after the service, bus going away. Take him outside. There are some of you came in here this morning with an attitude. And not only that, I'll take it a step further. I can be here, and there are times when it's like I can feel, when I don't have to turn around and look, I can feel when somebody walks through the doors of this sanctuary and they're carrying this attitude with them. I can sometimes tell when they've walked in and I don't have to turn around and look. And some of you are here today and you've done this. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. What I'm saying is, I'm not super spirit man or anything like that, okay? But I can sense when some of these things are happening. Now listen, if I can sense it, you know good and well God is in heaven and He sees it. He sees what's happening. So therefore, when we come in here and, you know, had a fuss with the wife and the spouse. Okay, fine. You had a fuss with your spouse. And, you know, the dog did this and the neighbors did it and his kids were acting up and so on and so forth. So what happens is you bring all that stuff in with you and you let those things control your relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what you're doing. Listen, don't come to me and say, yes, but you don't know what I'm going through. I don't care what you're going through. God's your answer, not me. I will pray for you, but I can't deliver you. And God is talking about this right here. And the thing is, if you don't worship Him, man, some of you need to get over yourselves. And I'm not trying to be mean to you. What I'm saying is God's trying to help us in this. He's trying to help us to see that praise and worship will get you through this junk. Amen. Amen. When you're going through stinky at home, and your husband's being a blank, or your wife is too, and the both of you are double blanks, you're just blanking all over each other. The one thing that you need to do is look forward. Praise God. I just want to get to church so I can start worshiping and get this off of me. And whether Billy Goat does it or not, that's totally up to him. But I'm going to go in there and I'm going to praise and I'm going to worship God. I'm going to get this off me. Thing is, you could do it before you get here and get it off of you. But sometimes it's almost like we feel justified feeling that stuff.
Well,
oh, glory to God. Why would you choose to be controlled by anger, discouragement, depression, or any other emotion of the flesh instead of choosing to enter into divine, holy, spiritual communion with me?
Amen.
Why? And then you turn, you leave the service. I didn't get nothing out of that service. Sermon stunk, everything else. I just want to go eat, go home, take a nap. Well, go home, go eat, take your nap, whatever. Stop at Starbucks, have you a quadruple latte. Praise God. Whatever. That's not your answer, though. You passed up and up. Boy, God dealt with me over this a long time ago. Every time you come into a place where people are praising, worshiping God, and you just, he ain't doing it. And you just stub up and don't, you have missed an opportunity to touch the glory of God.
Amen.
And you need to know something. That opportunity will never come again. Now, there'll be another service. But that opportunity will never, ever come again. You blew it. And buddy, have I been guilty of that. I mean guilty. He said, if you cannot or find it difficult to enter into worship without the external stimulus of music, singers, and pre-written songs, you haven't fully learned how to worship out of your spirit instead of your soul. The worship in your spirit wants to rise above your soul in order to make a divine connection with my glory. So as long as you keep it bottled up, man, and choke it down, it ain't going to happen. Now I'll just give you a little heads up on the rest of this. Nowhere in here does he say that you have to sing or worship on pitch or be able to harmonize. I mean, there's some of you in here, you can't carry a tune in a bucket, man. We love you. But you know, I don't care. Just worship the Lord. It's like here a while back, the Lord, in a prophecy, in a word, He said up there on His throne, when people are worshiping Him, He never hears a flat note. Now, it may be flat when it comes out of your mouth down here, but He never hears a flat note. Glory to God. So I guess I can just make a joyful noise all I want, and you just have to put up with it. Hallelujah. He said, knowing that I release my anointing through people, what are you contributing to the worship services you attend? Think about it. How many people are you impacting by not worshiping? Well, let God touch them. Remember, we have been given the ability to sing, make music, worship the Lord with or without instruments. God's the one that's created it, which means He moves through it. I inhabit the praises, He says. So knowing that He releases it through people, He asks, what are you contributing to the worship services you attend? I used to be able to sit through a worship service and do nothing. Sometimes not even sing, just, you know, get through it. You know, praise God, love the music. Okay, let's go on. And it didn't bother me until God started dealing with me more and more about praise and worship. And now, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. And I know that there are times when, you know, I'm basically the only one standing, or one or three standing, worshiping the Lord. And look, it's not about wearing your legs out or tearing your body apart. It's really coming down to your attitude and what you want to do. And, okay, let's face it, when we get older, our bodies get tired quicker. So maybe you can't stand the whole time. And again, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but what are you going to do with all this? He said, what you believe about what I do during a worship service is reflected and revealed by your punctuality and attendance to worship services. The fact that so many of my children are not faithful to the times of worship in their church is because they either have never been taught about worship, or they simply do not believe in what I will do in a worship service, no matter what they say. See, if you knew, if you had it in your heart that you knew God's going to show up when I'm there worshiping, He will be there. His glory is going to flow. His presence will be there. I know it. Therefore, I am going to do this and experience what He has set aside for this service. See, if you really believed that you were going to have a supernatural and divine encounter with God in the realm of the Spirit, you do your best to be at the place of worship. This is not condemnation. I know it sounds like it, but it's not. It's not condemnation. It's God revealing to us. It's not just a matter of coming together to sing songs. It's a matter of coming together to experience the divine, holy God who created the universe.
Amen. Amen.
It's about experiencing Him. And everything that He has said in His Word about what He will do and how He will manifest in praise and worship, I mean, if we really believed it, we'd make the effort to be with praise and worship. You know, this morning, I'm back there, and he just keeps pouring some of this out to me. I mean, most of this He had given to me weeks and weeks ago. But then this morning, He starts adding to it. Well, listen, once He talks, you know, you sit and listen. And you let your fingers do the tippy-tappy all over the keyboard. Let her go. Because I miss it when I'm not out here. I miss it. Because I've learned how to sense His presence during praise and worship. Even if I'm the only one doing it, I've learned how to sense His presence. So He said, knowing that I release my anointing through people, what are you contributing to the worship services you attend? What you believe about what I do during a worship service is reflected and revealed by your punctuality and attendance to worship services. The fact that so many of my children are not faithful to the times of worship in their church is because they either have never been taught about worship, or they simply do not believe in what I will do in a worship service, no matter what they say. Now, before Satan throws, remember, Satan comes immediately to steal the word. Before he starts hammering people with false condemnation, I know full well that, you know, if you're trying to get about, you know, if it's like Ma and Pa Kettle, you've got all these kids, you're trying to get, I know that it can be difficult to be there on time. I know that. And I know that there are times when you miss or you're late because there are jobs and so forth. So don't leave here and let Satan pound you with false condemnation over all of this, okay? See, here's the thing. As this is going forth, each person knows in their heart where they are in all of this. He said, man, this is neat. He said, you can receive. Did you hear that? You can receive. You can receive more from me during a worship service than you will during a sermon. A sermon is instruction about me and what I do. Worship is an experience with me and what I do. A sermon can give you teaching about what you need to change. Worship produces change. A sermon can teach you about my glory. Worship takes you into my glory. Praise God, man. You see, Satan, I am firmly convinced now more than ever, Satan will fight worship more than prayer. When's the last time you heard of churches? We've done this here in the past, but when's the last time you heard of churches just saying, okay, we're going to have, you know, all night prayer, or we're going to have prayer, you know, such and such, you know, Friday night from such and such time, such as, or whatever day of the week. But instead of prayer, we're having worship. We're just coming together to worship. See, this is one of the things that I really, really appreciate about the ministry of Terry McAlmon. He just comes together, man, let's worship. Let's just worship. Let's enter into that holy place and worship. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. The elders and angels sing. The redeemed worship you now. Holy, holy. I mean, let's just worship Him. Let's just start worshiping and see what He does when He shows up. Now, I'm going to stop right here, and I will finish this. There's quite a bit more to go, and I'm going to finish this tonight. Now, guys, I know some of you, you know, for whatever reason, there might be circumstances to where you're not able to be here. You know, for those of you that have the option to be here, and it comes down to a matter of choice, that's up to you. There is no condemnation. None. Absolutely none. But I do know this. By the time this is over tonight, you are going to have an even greater understanding of worship than what you've had up until today and by the end of the service this morning. Because there is some more in here that absolutely, to me, is just, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Praise God. I think it's the elders and angels bow. Yeah, I kind of messed up the words there. Sorry, Carrie. Praise God. See, this is encouraging to me because it just helps me to understand even more about the whole thing of singing and music and worship and so forth. But God created it. He created music, and it's like He's laid His hands upon it and ordained it with an anointing to do something in our lives. He has ordained a coupling of words with music that somehow open up a realm in the Spirit where He moves. Praise God. It's encouraging to me, and man, I'm telling you what, I hope it's encouraging to you as well.